Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Campus Book Mart is the one and only stop for the real Southern Miss fan. From hats to sweaters and even jerseys, Campus Book Mart has you covered with all the essentials for the Southern Miss football season. With sizes from toddler to large and in charge, there is no reason to shop anywhere else. Call 601-261-9690 or visit campusbookmart.net. Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street across from USM in Hattiesburg.
All free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. We're glad you're with us on a rainy afternoon. Tropical storm warning in effect for our listening area. So be cautious and be prepared for some weather that we are expecting here in the next few hours here in the Pine Belt. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studio in Hattiesburg. Opening segment is sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit, and we're glad that it is. A great place to take your family for dinner or cater your next tailgate. Bob, Kelly, Dima, I know that you were out yesterday, and Kelly doesn't know I'm going to announce this, but I know there was a lot of attention on the debate last night, but the big debate actually occurred yesterday at a local Chinese restaurant when the owner told Kelly there was a limited number of times he could go to the buffet line. The debate was ferocious, we understand.
That's called bait and switch is what that's called, because they never said anything about that, and they never said there's any time limit either.
Well, looking at Kelly today, I know who won the debate, apparently.
Well, you just he's got jokes all the time, doesn't he? He needs to learn to respect his elders, Bob. You know?
Andrew Abbott is joining us, a local sports writer. You got anything you want to throw in about that Chinese buffet debate, Andrew?
I'm with Kelly. I mean, if it's a buffet, you should be able to go as many times as you'd like. That's what you're paying for.
although I understand food is limited up in the Ohio area. For different things.
Yes, it is. There is a ban on dachshunds.
The buffet.
But other than that, it's wide.
Yeah, I was going to say the buffet.
Or goose.
Yeah. You got a little.
If
limited.
It's an animal and it's moving and you're hungry, kill it. I mean, I think that is the new law there in Ohio. It's the new America, my friend.
We digress.
Yeah, we digress.
Let's talk evidence.
Yeah, let's get Andrew on before he hangs up and never agrees to come back on the show again. Andrew, I'm gonna put you on the spot right out of the gate, and I want you to just tell me if I'm wrong. The Golden Eagles won 35-10 last night, and I don't know that I've ever seen the fan base so unhappy after a win. Can you explain that to me, please?
I think there's some merit to it. I mean, it wasn't a pretty win. Even Will Hall had basically admitted that there's things that they have to work on, and you know, truthfully, I think Southeastern will play well in the Southland, but, you know, that's a game you're supposed to win big and win with some style points. And, you know, the final score says one thing, but if you look at the numbers for basically up until the last 2 minutes, I mean, particularly with the run game, they struggled. And you don't want to see that, see your offensive line and your run game struggle against an FCS team. So, in a sense, I understand that. But at the same time, this is right where we all expected them to be in terms of record and where the season is at. So, you know, in my mind, week 3 and 4 is going to kind of be the true moment of the moment of truth.
Well, I think we have, in all honesty, said that. You got to tee it up Saturday night against a team that I watched play Alabama off and on throughout the night, and it looks like to me it's going to be a big, big challenge if the Golden Eagles can't start running the football, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, that's the root of all their problems, which is kind of ironic given that the one thing they couldn't do for the last 3 years is actually throw the ball. but, yeah, I mean, their inability to run the ball forces them to throw it, and, you know, they can do that well, but then because they can't run it, they play calling gets predictable and, you know, the drive stall, and then your defense has to be out on the field way longer than it needs to be. And I think they have a very good defense. And in fact, I think their defense, I'm kind of curious to see that matchup, just because I think Southern Miss's defense can potentially hold its own against USF and their very good offense. But again, the root of the matter is, can they run the ball and control some of the time of possession? And that's the big question mark heading into this week. And, you know, I was not impressed with their run protection and honestly how the running backs have kind of played up until this point.
Andrew, I think most fans would agree that Southeastern will compete in the Southland Conference. What assurances do Eagle fans have that their Eagle football team will compete well in the Sun Belt Conference? It's still early, but from what we've seen to the Sun Belt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and I kind of wrote this in my preseason stuff. The Sun Belt is just not as good as it has been, and therefore I think anything can kind of happen this year. You know, you in the past you've had teams that were top 25 multiple teams top 25 caliber, and you know, and with several good teams behind them, and now that's not so much the case. I mean, there's the last couple of years where you could have said, you know, Coastal or JMU could have very well, in the current playoff system, you know, make an appearance in it. I would be very surprised to see that being the case for any Sun Belt team, particularly in the West. And, you know, a lot of the games that looked like losses in the spring when the schedule first came out are very winnable. I mean, James Madison and Troy might be two of the worst teams in the Sun Belt this year.
So with the resurgence of South Florida, a lot of people thought that South Florida and Jacksonville State might be the real litmus test about this Golden Eagle team heading into Sun Belt play. But now with the resurgence of South Florida, maybe that can has to be kicked down the road to the Jacksonville State game.
Yeah, and honestly, kind of what you said is what I wrote. I kind of have South Florida winning this game in the preseason. I think they're a contender for the AAC, and Mike could also be a, you know, although the number 4 Alabama loss kind of hurts them a little bit if it's a little closer. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they could make their way into the playoff, because they got to play a Miami team that I think they could beat. So, you know, South Florida is a tough bar, but, you know, if you play well against them, and I'm not ruling them completely out of this game. I think Southern Miss can beat them. There's paths to it. They have to play good football. That's the key part, but in my mind, it's always been Jacksonville State's going to be the moment of truth, really.
Andrew, I'm throwing this to Dima. Dima, Andrew says that there is a path for Southern Miss to beat South Florida, but it's going to be winning Pennsylvania, isn't it? That's and the electoral votes.
Yeah, okay. No, I don't know. It's going to be hard, and I think a lot of the problem with some of the argumentation put forth by a lot of the fan bases is, you know, or I guess more of the merits to it. You know, if you can't run against a Southeastern Louisiana team, you know, how are you going to be able to run against any other team on the schedule? Even if it is a Monroe who looks better than what we all expected, and then a team like Marshall who looks better than we all expected, teams like that. But, you know, I agree with Andrew that next week against Jacksonville State, who by all means might be 0-3 going into that game next week. You know, they lost to Coastal Carolina to start the season. They just got beat up by Louisville last week. They go on the road this week to Eastern Michigan. Very odd game, night game out up there. And I don't even know where Eastern Michigan is, but I think it's in Ypsilanti, maybe? I don't know.
Ypsilanti.
I think that's where it is. I'm just guessing, honestly.
And I think that's a Thursday night game, isn't it? Or
maybe
a Friday?
So. Maybe so. But my point is, Jacksonville State could be 0-3 next week, and if Southern Miss goes up there or goes over there and
Don't say it.
LOSES, that game. That might be what Andrew's saying is the moment of truth. But, Andrew, I wanted to throw it back to you really quickly. Against Southeastern Louisiana, you know, I went back and watched the game, and it looked like Southeastern Louisiana did everything they could to pack the box and stop the run. They were just going to take that away. And I guess my concern is, if Southeastern Louisiana is able to do that, and you saw how, you know, inconsistent the offense is, who are we to say that nobody else on the schedule is going to see that film and do the exact same thing with even a more talented and deeper roster?
Yeah, and you know, they've kind of mentioned that they kept going to the outside zone and just wanted to keep going to it until it worked. And my thought was, well, if it's not working, why aren't you trying something different? And I know, you know, they view their screen game as another gateway or whatever to their run game, and the screen game wasn't working either. So, yeah, I don't know. That was a little puzzling. And honestly, the biggest concern for me outside of USF's quarterback this week is, I don't know if anybody bothered to look at what they held Alabama to, but up until the third quarter, Alabama only had 50 rushing yards. Jalen Milroe still finished with only 2 rushing yards. So this is a team that can stop the run. I mean, they're talented enough to do that. So, you know, that's a team that was just scheming it well. This is a team that's talented enough to do it. So
without stacking the box, because they have to cover those Alabama wide receivers.
Right. And meanwhile, they rushed for over 200 yards against Alabama. Andrew?
Yeah. But, you know, I truly believe that I think Southern Miss's defense can hold its own. I've been really impressed by them. You look at Kentucky, the offense/special team spotted Kentucky, we'll say at least 14 points. You know, the Southeastern touchdown was Will basically said it was more of a coaching call than on the players. And to be fair, I think it was a good play by Southeastern. Just who expects them to run the ball with like 10 seconds left instead of throwing it? So in my mind, I think Southern Miss's defense can play. It's a question of if they can win the field position battle, which they haven't been able to do in either of these two games, and can their offense actually support them.
All right, we're talking to Andrew Abbott. Going to continue our conversation with Andrew right on the other side of the break. We need to get back to how good that food was in the press box the other night, too, Dave. Did we mention that to you, Kelly?
Yeah, shrimp scampi, I think, or something like that. Crawfish etouffee.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. We're glad you're with us this afternoon. We're visiting with our friend Andrew Abbott. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net. Great place to buy all your Southern Miss swag, as you know. A lot of stuff for your houses, too, you know, and your cars and stuff. So with the holidays beginning to rear its head on the horizon, Campus Bookmart, great place to go if there's a Golden Eagle on your list. Okay, Andrew, break down your analysis of the Golden Eagle football team now that you've watched them play basically a game and a half. And what is it in your mind they have to do to be competitive and beat South Florida Saturday night?
To beat South Florida, well, they got to run the ball. But more specifically, their offensive line just needs to be more physical. Just kind of watching the tape, watching a few of the highlights. I didn't watch the Southeastern game as closely as I did the Kentucky one. But they need to play physical. They need to kind of step up their game, for lack of a better way to phrase it. Looking at the running backs, they kind of need to hit holes better and kind of, I guess, more awareness on their end. You know, with Frank Gore Jr., who was back there for so long, that was probably next to getting guys to miss. It was his other greatest strength. And Chip Long really kind of hinted at that at yesterday's practice of what was kind of missing from the running back room. So in my mind, if they get this run game figured out, they'll be playing, should be playing much better football. You know, they can finally throw it. It's refreshing to see. They have a really good quarterback, and I do like when they bring Ethan in there and his own little packages, and he kind of can give them a little extra shot of life. But the receivers and tight ends have, in terms of the passing game, have played really well. Much like the offensive line, the tight ends need to block better too. In a sense, they're missing Cole Cavallo because he was their best blocking tight end last year, and I haven't really seen that. Defensively, I think they just need to keep doing what they're doing, and make sure they stay healthy, because Caraway and Sabatini were both not dressed out today, although they were both on the depth chart today.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up the passing quarterback, Tate Rodemaker, because a lot of people go, you know, that guy can throw it. He can sling it downfield. The problem is, you know, so then fans will go, well, why doesn't he throw it downfield more? Well, he's got to have time, right? He has to be able to have time to set up in the pocket, have a pocket develop, and let the receivers run their routes. There's a lot more to this than meets the eye. Andrew, and that goes back to your point about the offensive line.
Yeah, well, you know, here's the weird thing. They actually, the pass protection has been there, which in the past it hasn't. And normally, the last few years, it's been flipped. They can run block, but the pass pro wasn't there. Now it's the other way around, which is surprising. And, you know, Tate Rodemaker has played fairly well, but I do want to say he has to be able to read the RPOs a lot better. And I do think that is one of the smaller problems in their run game. You know, there is a few times where he should have handed the ball off to his running backs, more so in the Kentucky game than Southeastern, and just let the running backs run because there was wide open running lanes instead of him trying to, you know, force a play when the play was easily there. And I do think that has been a little bit of the problem as well. But again, Tate has played well for the most part. And I do think he's going to get better. But I think part of that is just trying to become comfortable in a new offense. So that's the growing pains of the transfer portal.
A lot of the offense has been focused on screen plays as an extended part of the run game. They haven't been able to really do that on the edge. And you can point to maybe some blocking on the offensive line or maybe the receivers dropping balls like Ty Mims has a couple of times. What do you point that to?
Yeah, I think kind of what you just hinted at, the slot not really delivering the way it's needed to. You know, Will Hall's basically called out Ty Mims, and, you know, we've said it in our groups of the media, Ty Mims does not look like the guy he was last year. Now, to the point of that, I why not give Chandler Pittman more opportunities? But I feel like, you know, part of that is just, yeah, I understand they have a game plan, but I also feel like they haven't quite adjusted the offensive play calling as the game has gone on greatly. But I'm not, you know, I'm no X's and O's expert, but that's just my take, again, going off of what was said off of the press conferences. But yeah, at the same time, the bottom line is they got to block better.
So going forward, you talked about that the defense is going to keep them in games, and defenses will win you championships. But offensively, you have to reshuffle the deck if you can't run at all, and that's got to play into the other team's defensive prowess, knowing that you only have to shut down one aspect of the game.
Yeah, and you know the concerning part is, you know, this is only week two. You would think you'd be able to establish something before having to get creative with your run game a little bit more, which I'm guessing is probably the thought process. I would think would be the thought process. Okay, if what we're doing is not working now, then we got to scrap it and try and find other ways to run the ball. Because I mean, and I've harped on it on the whole show so far that's the root of their problems right now. I mean, it's killing them on trying to sustain drives and keep their defense off the field. I mean, that's the bottom line of this right now. And they're going to have, mark my words, they're going to have problems against USF's run defense. I mean, those guys, that's their specialty.
Yeah, they looked really good against Alabama, rushed for 200-plus yards against Alabama. I enjoy asking you and Dima and you guys that cover the team as closely as you do these types of questions. Another thing that I heard Saturday night was I heard some people complaining that the team seems to not be very disciplined, that there is too much yaw-yawing between plays, there's too much shoving and pushing, and more attention folks should maybe perhaps be focused on playing and a little less on talking. Do you see that as an issue with the football team at all, Andrew?
No, not really. You know, they weren't getting really penalized for it. And there's a little bit of backstory to it. The guy that they were jawing the most with was Brandon Hayes, who is a former Golden Eagle.
Good point.
Yep.
That is very understandable. So I think that was a lot of it. And as long as you're not getting penalties for it, I'm fine with the defense, especially the defense being chippy. As long as it's not costing you penalties, make it part of your game.
Hey, I just have a question to you guys, too. Is there a backstory behind Chandler Pittman and his lack of playing time so far? Is there something we might not know? Because early in the season, they kept talking about using him in different formations, you know, in the slot, you know, sometimes in the backfield, you know, whatever. But we just haven't seen him much at all. And I think when somebody asked Coach Hall about using Chandler Pittman, they said, well, he's got to do his part, too. So you kind of read that there might be something that, and I'm not, you know, that
he did mention we threw one pass to him and he dropped it. He said that Monday. Yeah,
That's right. That's
your thoughts about that, Andrew?
Well, you know, Tymens has dropped passes too this year, and he's fumbled the ball. I think my take is I do think we're going to see Pittman get the ball more in the coming games with Mims having his regression so far, but. Maybe, you know, and you kind of see this on the other levels in this Brave New World, but, you know, Ty Mims has got some NIL deals, and I know that's a guy who got some sizable deals. It would make sense that you're trying to put the ball in his hands if that's the guy you're paying money to. That's my thought. That's pure speculation. Don't know that for a fact, but that's kind of my guess. You know, Pittman did look good in the fall camp, so, you know. But I also think they're still trying to figure things out because, and it definitely, you know, the coaches have said this, you play basically a half of football against Kentucky, and then you play Southeastern. I mean, I think they're still trying to figure out who they are. I mean, this has been such a weird start for them in terms of offense that I think you're still trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And that's not saying, you know, with the run blocking and all that, but I think they're still trying to figure out who can do what for them. And who specializes at what? I mean, that's just, you know, you got less than a half of, or you got a game and a half of football. Usually at this point, most people can start to figure out who they are, and they're still trying to figure that out with all the weird things that happened at Kentucky.
All right, last question. Scale of 1 to 10, Andrew Abbedy, how important are the next two football games for Will Hall and this 2024 squad?
I mean, you could argue they're all important at this point. You got past Kentucky and Southeastern. These next 10 games are, you know, the true season. We all knew where they would be after week two, 1-1, which I know some people don't want to hear that, but that's the reality. USF's a good team, but this is the real season now in my mind, you know, so we'll see what happens. I mean, Coach Hall has said it. There's an urgency to win. That's true. So we'll see what happens. In my mind, though, week four against Jacksonville State is the genuine moment of truth.
All right, Andrew, we appreciate your input on the show. We enjoy your writing, and we thank you for all you do covering Southern Miss sports. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, guys, for having me back.
All right. Hey, quick reminder. Let's remember what today is. It's 9/11. It is the anniversary of one of the worst days in American history. Thousands of Americans lost their lives. Many families are still suffering from that today, I'm quite sure. And it's just a solemn day, and I hope that everyone will take a few minutes today and remember all of those that we lost on 9/11.
Real quick, Bob, where were you when you were getting the news about 9/11?
I was actually at my house getting dressed for work when my wife called and said, you need to turn the TV on.
Yeah.
Something bad has happened.
I was at now Judge Tony Mazingo's travel agency office when it went into the second building. And I couldn't believe it.
A sad day and one that we should never forget. Our thoughts and prayers today with all the families affected so terribly by 9/11.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. Thanks to Andrew Abbedy for joining us. Really appreciate that. These guys are bugging me. can you hear it well enough now, Kelly? Are you happy, Kelly?
Huh?
Are you happy?
Huh?
Well, that's what it's like. You know, it's like having a mix between a 4-year-old child and an 89-year-old woman.
Like we were on a break for 4 minutes, and he couldn't have said it during the four minutes.
It's
in the intro.
No, he didn't say a word to me until we come on the air, and no. I'm trying to concentrate, and he's just...
My hearing isn't very good anymore, and I asked one of these younger fellas, I said, where'd you come from? And he says, my mama. And I thought he said Miami, and I said, oh, I've been there, you know. But
let's move on.
Are we on the air?
Where are the symbols?
Four Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the show. It is a great place to go anytime you want to watch Southern Miss play sports. Have good food, meet your friends, have a good time. 4th Street Bar and Grill.
You're just now getting that joke, Dima?
Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official... I'm cutting Kelly's mic right now. Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest on the road today. You can visit the all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. We'll be there. We'll be there next Tuesday, actually, and we will be at TrustCare next Wednesday. We were scheduled to be there today, but as you know, we're under a tropical storm warning. Not a good day to be out of the studio, I didn't think.
This is not a presidential debate. Is my microphone back on? No.
Not now. Okay, Dima, you and I will continue the show, Dima.
Have you ever seen a 12-inch nose?
Excuse me?
A 12-inch nose. Have you ever seen that?
I have not.
Okay, that'd be called a foot.
Oh, but seriously, folks.
You notice his mic is still off, right?
Yeah. Turn my mic back on.
Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You probably won't want to listen to this show, but if you do, you can tune to Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right, Dima, before we get back to football, our man here, who just seems to be a magnet of criticism on X, Now they're upset with him about his whining over the tailgating. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was reading some stuff the other day, and it feels like Kelly and just some of the comments that have been made on this show over the past week and a half or so have been criticized on the best social media app ever because it's so credible, X.
You can believe everything you read there,
yes.
Right?
Sure.
What's Mr. Trump's his platform?
Truth Social.
Oh, Truth Social, yeah.
Do you have any comment to the criticism you want to look?
No, I'm just saying I wasn't the only person that felt that way because I heard from a lot of people about the tailgating situation. It isn't the fact that they made the changes. It's that they, to me, kind of hit it in fine print. It would have just made things a lot easier. And again, the complaint was you want people to come to the games. You want people to have fun and cheer on the team. So you bring your tailgating stuff and then are told you can't tailgate there. It just doesn't make sense.
All right, his 2 minutes are up, so cut his mic and
Kelly's mic is back off now. Okay, you had your say. All right, let's move on. We're just kidding, of course. Let's move on to football, guys. I mentioned this to Andrew that even though they won, I just sense this real unrest among the fan base, and I'm gonna throw this out here, and I'll start with you, Dima. Here's why I think it is. I think Andrew's exactly correct. When we looked at the schedule, we said lose to Kentucky, beat Southeastern Louisiana. But I think it's the fact that they lost 31-0 in a half of play, and then they struggled against a team that I think we all assumed they would beat by 4 or 5 touchdowns. I believe that's where the uneasiness is coming from.
Yes, definitely. I mean, if they would have gone to Lexington and the final score was – 38-17, and the only reason Kentucky had 38 was because they scored a garbage time touchdown, and it was whatever 17-7 at halftime, and it felt competitive, you know. And then they last week they come home for the home opener in front of a big crowd, jump out 28-0 by halftime, and I mean like Southern Miss football used to do. That was what happened. They would play that first game decently close for a half, and then come the next game against an FCS opponent, blow them out, and then that set them up for non-conference play. And you remember that I said on this show last week that I was glad that this Southeastern game was in between Kentucky and the back half of the schedule because I thought it would give them a lot of confidence. Coming out of that game, there is not a lot of confidence in this football team, which is, to Bob's point, because of the way that they won that game on Saturday. Outside of a pick six and a muffed punt, the game is 21-10.
And the way they started the yes. Southeastern Louisiana game with a turnover.
Yep.
Early on, the Lions actually kicked the field goal, you remember, on their first possession. So you never get a second chance to make a first impression. and you go out there and turn it over, and yep. and a team that is the prohibitive underdog goes and kicks a field goal, you know, on the first their first series. So I think people were kind of uneasy from the get go, and this weekend, it's been talked about how tough South Florida is, and based on the way they played against Alabama last week, the last thing the Eagles need to have happen is for South Florida to come in here and them not to defend the rock and them to get beat, you know, 42-10 or something like that. I mean, let's be competitive here. Let's play for the win, but let's be competitive on our home field. And I think that would put a lot more people's nerves at ease a little bit.
But again, you're talking about kind of uneasy at the start. You know, they were uneasy on the start going into that game because of what had happened at Kentucky. And they were like, okay, that was maybe Kentucky. Put that behind us. It was weird, a rainy night. First play of the game, it's a fumble. Three straight three and outs or whatever it was. You know, get the muff punt. It takes like six plays to get it in the end zone inside the 10. I mean, you know, they had that penalty that put them back on 10 yards. It seemed like everything was hard for them against Southeastern Louisiana. There wasn't a drive where it just felt like four-play touchdown or whatever, you know.
And so. You remember Monday on the show, Coach Hall said if there was something, if he could wave a magic wand and change things about this team the way it's playing right now, it's to get better starts. That they haven't really, you know, I didn't think the Kentucky start was horrendous.
No,
not near as bad as the Southeastern start was, but they you just don't want to get in this habit of digging yourself a hole too early. Takes your fans out of it, all right. And then when you're playing from behind, it also limits your playbook because you can't be eating up a lot of clock when you're behind. You know, you've got to use your resources on the clock, which generally means you're going to have to pass more. Yep. So to get out of the gate quickly and get good, clean starts.
And South Florida is going to have a lot more competent of an offense than Southeastern Louisiana did. You know, Southeastern Louisiana, I remember Will Hall saying after the game on Saturday, like, we didn't allow any big plays. We didn't allow. It's like, yeah, because they weren't throwing any big plays. They weren't chunking it 40 yards down the field like USF has the ability to do with that quarterback and those wide receivers that, again, the secondaries looked good. It's looked good, but still new, you know, only a half of football, and then Southeastern didn't really pressure them a lot. But this is still a bigger test for that defense than Southeastern Louisiana was, and for the offense, it's a much bigger test than the Southeastern defense was.
We're hoping for a great crowd Saturday night. There was an announced crowd of 22,000, Kelly, at the game Saturday night, and I'm not really sure how they reached those numbers. What exactly? I'm assuming that sold tickets, but I don't know that to be a fact. What do you look for this Saturday night?
From crowd wise, I think it'll be about the same. I think it'll be about the same. Number one, you know, South Florida's got a really good reputation being a strong football team, and you hear fans say all the time, "Man, if they just played better opponents." Well, this is a good one. Mm-hmm. All right, so you're going to get to see a good quality opponent. You know, weather should not be, you know, a factor this weekend. So I would expect, you know, you have, as we've learned doing this show, you've got your section of hardcore Southern Miss fans that are going to be there no matter what.
Right.
And you'll have some that are on the fence who are still trying to, kind of like Coach Hall, trying to figure this team out. And sometimes fans are going, I don't, and this is wrong, but they'll go, I don't know if I really want to be with this team or not be with this team. You know, yeah. So as the team tries to figure itself out, I think some of the fans are doing the same thing.
I would say, you know, a lot of people are talking about how Jacksonville State is the moment of truth next week. I think this week is a big moment of truth for Southern Miss to look competitive. I think this is a game where a lot of those fans who are on the fence, like Kellers are saying, is like, you know what? Maybe it was just a little bit of struggle last week against Southeast Louisiana. Obviously, I didn't think they were going to beat Kentucky. They're 1-1. I expect them to compete against a South Florida team. And if it's just looks terrible, I wonder if that is going to be the key that doesn't make them come back, because it's different seeing them in person than looking at the box score, because not a lot of people are going to travel to Jacksonville State.
Well, don't blame the student body for the low attendance Saturday night, because the students showed up and they filled their section. They stayed throughout most of the game. They cheered, and they were very supportive, Dima. And you look for a good student turnout again, or was that because of the first game?
Yeah, generally the first game is the highest. I do expect this week to be pretty good. I don't know necessarily as much as Saturday night was, but I do expect it to be pretty good. I know that the student claims are sent out to our email every Wednesday, and I know they're already out of all the student tickets.
Well, that's good to hear. All right, Mobile Beignet, the official beignet store of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We'd invite you to go by there. You're in town for a ball game this weekend, 2902 Hardy Street. We know you're not going to be disappointed. Mobile Beignet Company, the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, DBAT sponsors the final segment of our program every day on Hardy Street, state-of-the-art baseball softball training. Luke Reynolds is the manager, and it is a great place for you to take your children if you want them to be the very best they can be in the sport of their choice. We are lucky to have a facility like DBAT here at Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. All right, news and notes, Dima Mixon.
Yeah, we mentioned on Monday about men's golf going to the Argent Financial Classic. They finished 12th in that tournament for men's golf. They were, I think, tied for 8th on Monday, so they dropped down to 12th. But we actually saw most of the golf team before they went out there Friday at Fuzzy's Tacos. So they had a nice showing out there at the Argent Financial Classic. So good for the golf team. They are, their next tournament, I believe, is next weekend. And then soccer, after their loss to UAB, they will play Ole Miss, the Ole Miss soccer team in Oxford, on Thursday evening at 6 p.m. out there. Oh, actually, it's in the morning. I misread that. 11 a.m. on tomorrow, Thursday morning. So we'll have news and notes tomorrow and see the winner of that game. Ole Miss is 4-3. Southern Miss is 1-3. So that's up there in Oxford.
You have to wonder if the weather might have pushed that game, you know, to a different starting time, because that certainly is an odd
Thursday at 11 a.m. If I'm taking the track of the storm, it feels like it would be.
We'd take it right up there.
Yeah, so that makes sense, I guess. Get it in before.
Right.
Now, also, the Southern Miss football depth chart is out for Southern Miss and South Florida. A couple names that we were looking to see if they appeared was Dennis Jackson, Elijah Sabatini, and Brendan Tolles. Tolles and Sabatini are both on the depth chart. Sabatini was not on it last week, so he's back on the depth chart. Does not necessarily mean they'll play, but it just means they're available to play. They're, I guess you would say, questionable, but they're available to play. Dennis Jackson is not on the depth chart, which means he is out for Saturday's game against South Florida.
And the Massey ratings, which they kind of put all these different matrices from all the different rating services, they kind of put into one. To the Masseys, they make projected records, projected game scoring, and so on. And I hate to be the deliverer of bad news, but these things tend to be fluid as seasons go on. Teams play well, some teams don't play so well. Well, right now, they have Southern Miss not favored against anyone this football season, the way that Monroe has gotten out of the gate, and that's even surprised you, Dima, the way the Warhawks are playing. And Jacksonville State, they're underdogs against Jacksonville State, and underdogs against every and, of course, again, they're fluid, so they can change, and we certainly hope that that the Eagles will play to where they're more highly heralded in some of these different situations, and it's before them, so they can change it on their own.
Yeah, I think ULM's run of mightiness, because, you know, they're 2-0, they're undefeated. Probably will end next week when they go on the road to Austin, Texas, and play the Longhorns.
You think?
Yeah, maybe so.
But now Texas State plays Texas this week.
Yes,
I think.
Yes.
And the Bobcats, you know, just annihilated UTSA from Conference USA last week. So and again, everybody seems to think that the Sun Belt West, yep, you know, runs through San Marcos.
But so. Texas annihilated Michigan. So. That kind of
Texas may be, no disrespect, Georgia fans, but Texas may be the best team in the country. You don't think so, Dima? Who do you think? You think Georgia's better than there? No. Oh, don't give us this Ohio State University stuff.
Ohio State, after they've beaten up on the Sisters of the Poor and
Akron,
Ellisville State School. I mean, come on.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
And now have to take a week off to rest.
It is one of the earliest bye weeks for the Buckeyes.
Ohio. No, seriously, who do you think is the best team in the country?
Ohio State.
No, seriously.
Yeah. The Buckeyes.
No, I'm serious.
From the Big Ten, all they have to do is beat Michigan. Right?
I think Incarnate Word is probably the best.
They're
team
pretty.
They're pretty competitive.
They can run.
That's where G.J. Kinney came from.
That's right.
The new coach at Texas State was at Incarnate Word.
Speaking of teams underperforming, the Bengals, they lose their opening.
I told you they're 0-9 the last 3 years. They don't play any of their guys in the preseason, and then can't understand why they don't win the first game. They're out of sync.
Would you get mad if I said they appear a little soft to be an NFL?
No, they are.
Me too.
They are.
They're not like a Pittsburgh Steelers.
When the coach 3 years ago was complaining that his wide receivers were being bullied, listeners, an NFL coach actually used the term bullied.
Well, the good news is.
Where do they play this week?
They play at Kansas City.
Oh, that's a surprise. Kansas City gets a home game?
A home game for Kansas City, really?
Who would have thought it?
The good thing about the Bengals not being tough, though, is they play in the same division with Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Yeah, no.
They're not very tough.
No, they smash the Bengals in the mouth, and they don't ever have an answer for it.
Hey, the Saints get the Cowboys on the road, so that'll be a pretty interesting game. The Saints look pretty good on Sunday, and I'm sure we might be talking to Patrick McGee on Friday.
Yeah,
talking
about Patrick, the Saints. He was interviewing people this past Friday. The weakness of the Dallas Cowboys, forgive me for saying this, is their mediocre quarterback.
Who just got 200 and some million.
That's amazing.
Million.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, Deshaun Watson. How much? He got about the same kind of money.
Yeah, but he needs the money to pay the lawyers. Dak.
Well, he's going to need some more to pay the lawyers.
Apparently, there's another charge this week. Yeah. Okay, we'll have the play-by-play guy for South Florida on the show tomorrow. So we'll hear firsthand about the Bulls. And then some of our critics are supposed to join us tomorrow.
Jim Luke is the voice of the Bulls. He's coming on the
show.
There we
go.
Yeah, some of our critics, the 30 and 40-year-olds, are going to be on the show tomorrow. And also our junior college preview with Mike Frazier.
We'll be back at 1 o'clock. Hope you'll join us. Southern Miss.
To the top. 777 into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.